The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Well, welcome. It's nice to see you all again. Some of you again, some of you for the first time in a year and a half. And it's wonderful to be meditating here with you. And thank you for coming. As you were coming and as we started here, I felt quite happy and kind of feeling of contentment to be sitting together. I hope it was nice for you to be here. And so, thank you. As I went through my day today, I thought of a story that I kind of reflect on every year, usually in September, because it's a sign to the people we train. We have a training program for it to be an introduction to Buddhist chaplaincy, so people who are going to offer spiritual care. And it's the first, we give these Dharma stories to them. And they're usually quite short, but the assignment is to write about it, reflect on it, and kind of use a story as a basis upon which to reflect on oneself and one's own relationship to people and one's own experiences that we've had. And I was thinking about that today. Partly I was thinking about it because I think one of the things that evoked it was that yesterday we just finished teaching our first in-person retreat since the pandemic started at the retreat center, our retreat center in Santa Cruz. It's a week-long retreat. And it was quite wonderful. And we had, you know, a COVID protocol for it. So everyone was vaccinated. Everyone had a PCR test before it started. Everyone had an antigen test when they arrived. Everyone wore a mask. And then during the first 2 days, and then after 2 days, we had the second antigen test. And if everyone was negative, then we took off the masks. So most people chose to take off the masks when they could. Some people chose to keep it on. And when I sat down the first time to teach, a room full of about 30 people, we had people spread out. I just didn't feel right to teach with a mask on because there were people sitting relatively close by, and it just seemed like the projectiles from the voice that we're supposed to have, you know, spreads out across the room. And so I thought, well, given the COVID times, I think I don't think I want to teach with the mask on, or with the mask off. So I put it on to teach like I'm teaching now. And then today I read that Santa Cruz County is now requiring us to have masks the whole time we're there. For the next retreat that starts next Sunday, we'll be masked the whole week. And I just feel like it's a way of caring for each other. And we're not just caring for each other, we're caring for the people that we will encounter when we leave, and encounter the people they'll encounter. And, you know, the way that this invisible force, we have this invisible force that's spreading across the lands, right, this virus. And so I just felt like, of course I'd wear a mask. And, you know, it kind of feels, it's kind of a nice feeling to me because of this care. So the story is that we give in the first month of this chaplaincy training is an ancient story from the early times of the Buddhism, time of the Buddha. And there was a monk in the monastery who had gotten quite sick and had dysentery. And one day he was found in his bed or on the floor somewhere, just kind of laying in his own poop, laying in his own excrement, because he was too sick to take care of himself and probably had diarrhea and different things. And so someone told the Buddha. The Buddha went to see him, and the Buddha asked him, you know, why why aren't the other monks taking care of you? And the sick monk said, oh, because I'm useless to them. I'm useless. And so the Buddha with another monk. They went and got water and towels or whatever they needed. And they cleaned up the monk, took care of him, and nursed him for a while. And then the Buddha called all the monks in the monastery together for an assembly. And he said very simply, he said, now that you're monastics, you've kind of left the worldly life, you have no mother or father to take care of you. Now you have each other to care for. Now you have each other to care for each other. And before he said that, he said, I hear this, we met this, you know, I went to see this monk who was sick and laying in his own excrement. And why didn't you guys take care of him? And the monk said, oh, because he's useless to us. And so then he gave them a little talk. He said, you know, you have no mother and father. There's no one, you know, if no one's to care for you except for you to care for each other. And then he said, in an ancient Indian kind of worldview, a very powerful statement, he said, those who would care for me should care for the sick. And why it's a powerful statement is that in ancient India, in some degree to today in India, the guru is considered to be, carries so much merit, so much power, so much charisma, so much spiritual stature, that people, you know, kind of sometimes stumble over each other in order to serve the guru. It's a very, very meritorious thing to do, and it's very beneficial to offer that care to the guru. And here the Buddha was saying, those who would care for me, care for the sick. He was equating the caring for the sick for, you know, the caring for the guru, for the great teacher. And that was quite a powerful statement about care, the value of care and caring for others. And the sad story about, you know, the monk felt he was useless. How many people, you know, have been in some unfortunate circumstance and felt like they didn't really count, they weren't really worthy, or somehow they didn't belong, or you know, that they weren't worthy of anybody's care or attention, and kind of went off and by themselves. And how many have treated others that way? I mean, our society is made up. Once you do a kind of a national survey, and there are lots of people who are ignoring others and not caring for certain people, not taking their suffering into account and causing suffering to others, not just simply not caring, but. And this call to care for others is such a fantastic thing, if we understand kind of the essence of it, that to care is good for our own hearts. To care, I feel like it's such a fortunate thing to be able to care for people, be connected to people. And I remember how surprised I was when I first discovered this new feeling I never had before. I was on a group hike, kind of in the day hike in kind of the wilderness area, that it was kind of hard to... The going was hard. We had to climb over some very large boulders and teeny little cliffs, and you know, it was for someone who was not in good shape or was elderly or something, it was quite hard to it was a little hard. You needed help. So I noticed this one woman who needed help. So I just stayed behind, made sure I was never I was on the back near where she was, and whenever it seemed like she needed help, I was right there to kind of give her a hand or something. It seemed like a simple thing to do. But I started feeling not good about myself. It wasn't like I felt proud or anything. There was this kind of tingling, warm feeling that was kind of happening in my heart. And it was like I just couldn't wait to do it again for her, to help her, because of this. It was like, I don't know, I was going to say candy, but I don't know if that's the right thing to say. But you know, it just felt so sweet and so pleasant, so enjoyable to feel this tingling, warm feeling every time I had a chance to care for her and help her. You know, it was a very simple thing to do, just help her over these boulders. And I felt that many times since. And so rather than caring for others being a burden or a drag, it's something, it's like it's opening to something inside of us that kind of maybe makes us sing or gives us a good feeling. So these masks that we wear, I read also today that they're expecting that the COVID surge is going to happen this winter for a variety of reasons, partly because of Thanksgiving and partly because of Christmas, and kind of a repeat what happened last year, and which was pretty bad last winter, in spite of the fact many people are vaccinated now. And so I thought about that story and this idea of caring for others. And what if we go through Thanksgiving as if it was up to us to care for the whole nation? Because who knows the pathways by which this invisible force travels, right? Buddhists have been relying on thinking about invisible forces for a long time. The invisible force of goodwill, the invisible force of kindness, the invisible force of generosity that spreads out and comes back and travels around and has, you know, amazing effect on the world. And now we have a society that's all concerned about this invisible to the eye, this force of this virus. And, you know, it's people who don't know that they have it, you know, are bringing it to people who shouldn't have it because they're easily compromised and get sick. So to care as if everyone counts. To care for everyone. Everyone is important. Everyone matters. And these masks, I feel, is a symbol of kind of caring for everyone. We don't know. We'll never know these invisible pathways by which our life affects other people. You know, it could be that someone has asymptomatic with COVID and they, I don't know, they don't wear a mask and go into a store and lean over someone who's pulling out something from the shelf, and somehow that spreads to the next person, and they never know it spread to the next person. And that person spread it to the next person, and next person was someone who got sick, maybe even died. So these invisible ways in which we affect each other now, and to care about that. But to care about it not because it's a limitation, not because we are limiting ourselves, but the opposite. It's like kind of an unlimited life, to live a life where we don't try to protect ourselves, where we don't try to live with a conceit that's all about me and what I want, my preferences, but rather kind of in a certain very healthy way be able to put aside excessive self-preoccupation, which is kind of stressful anyway, and instead allow the chance for this movement of the heart, this movement of care, love, kindness, compassion, friendliness for others. So I'm inspired by this idea. I feel like it's been part of the fruit of my Buddhist practice. I've watched it kind of slowly grow over decades, you know, this movement of just feeling pretty natural that, of course, I think this way. So for me, the idea of wearing a mask, getting vaccinated and such things, just seems like it's just a natural expression, not for caring for myself, but caring for everyone else. And I feel kind of fortunate. I mean, it's terrible, this virus, and it's terrible that so many people are sick and dying. But I feel, given that's the case, I kind of feel that I'm in a fortunate position, that I'm able to have the ability to to do simple things that expresses care. And so that's, you know, when I said at the beginning, when I came here and saw all of you with your masks on, it kind of made me happy. It kind of made me, wow, this is a pretty nice that other people are doing this. It is the requirement to wear it when you come here. So no, shouldn't maybe make too much out of it, but anyway, it's made me kind of happy and content. And so no one's useless. No one is unworthy of our attention, our care. And what would happen if we lived in a world where we cared for everyone? And even the people we don't know. And if that was the orientation we had, I think we'd probably all be happier. So those are my words for today. And we have, you know, time. If any of you would like to ask any questions or make your comments or anything you'd like to say, it's your turn now that we're finally in person.
Are there any other teaching stories that come to mind relevant to the COVID situation?
The COVID situation? Well, it's probably not. This one's also been in my mind today. I don't think because of COVID, but we can probably make a nice connection. That's one of these wonderful things about stories. You can kind of interpret them. So maybe we can make a connection. There's a story of, I've told this plenty of times, but I like it a lot, of in India they have these ugly little troll-like beings called yakshas, yaksha. And so there was one of these ugly little troll-like yaksha, tree spirit kind of thing, that made his way up into the heavenly realms to where the great god of the highest heaven, Brahma, the palace was, and went into the palace one day when the great Brahma wasn't there, and hobbled along and hopped up onto Brahma's chair, not chair, but his throne. And no one sits on Brahma's throne but Brahma. So the other gods in the court got, you know, kind of upset. They said, "You have to get down from there." And the more upset and the more angry they got at the yaksha, the bigger and bigger and more beautiful and radiant the yaksha became. And so after a while, they got frustrated and didn't know what to do anymore. They couldn't get him off, and he was getting big and strong. So they went and found Brahma and said, "Brahma, this thing is happening back at the palace and on your throne." And Brahma said, "Oh, it's okay, I know what to do." So he went back to his palace and stood in front of his throne, stood in front of the yaksha, and bowed to the yaksha very deeply and said very kindly and friendly, "You know, oh, I'm happy to see you, and I hope you're comfortable up there, and things are good for you and your family." And as he did that, the yaksha got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, until at some point, poof, the yaksha disappeared. And then Brahma went on his throne. And he said, and explained, you know, this was an anger-eating yaksha. And the more angry you get, the more food he has and the bigger he grows. So if you want to kind of deal with him, what you do is you're friendly. And then he shrinks and he disappears. So it's kind of a sad story that he has to disappear. So can you relate that to the COVID?
Yeah, I think so.
Explain.
There's a lot to be angry about, but it doesn't feel good.
Uh-huh. And what does it feed?
It feeds itself.
Anger feeds anger.
It makes me better at noticing things to get angry about.
Uh-huh.
But then getting past the preoccupation with the stuff that I have the right to be angry about, getting past that feels so much better.
Mm. Great.
And the anger gets nothing done anyway.
So if you're angry and your anger is making yourself angrier, what if I got angry at you also? Would that help you grow even more?
No.
Oh, no, it wouldn't help the anger grow?
Oh, it would help my anger grow, yeah.
Yeah.
Not my Buddha nature, but my anger.
So we could all help and really kind of stir it up and really get it going here.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I think there's, you know, this is one of the trends in our society is people are feeding each other's anger. And this anger yaksha is growing. And then some of it's related to this COVID, right? There's a tremendous amount of anger and hostility and that is related to this. And I think it's feeding the wrong thing, including the people who are angry at the people who are angry. So that was my attempt to tell. Anybody else has another interpretation of the story? Anything else anyone would like to bring up?
Well, this expands a little bit on your story about the masks. Yesterday I had Thanksgiving dinner with my goddaughter and her family. And it was a very caring gathering. We've been doing this now for about 30 years. And none of us had masks. I mean, we were all vaccinated, things like that. So, so it felt safe, and I really did feel cared for. Mm. You know, I felt like I could care for others. My goddaughter has a 3-year-old daughter, so I'm a grand godfather as well. So I think there's a lot of ways that we can show care for each other, and I just wanted to offer that and you know, kind of in the spirit of Thanksgiving.
Beautiful, wonderful. Yeah, there is an infinite number of ways we can care for each other.
Mostly what I want to share is the tremendous appreciation I have for the opportunity to sit in community. And as I was going through the day-to-day driving, I had this feeling of gratitude in this sense of driving and the sense of sliding through the air, and that feeling was so common in the past before COVID and before I would come and have plenty of practice, and I was re-recognizing myself as I was having the sense of gratitude. And felt the appreciation for re-encountering the practice.
appreciation for?
Re-encountering the practice, uh-huh. Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Because I lost so much of it during this time.
Uh-huh. Well, and thank you for coming today so we can be together.
Yes.
Your Jim. And your name is?
I'm Ji Yang.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's nice to be here in person. I just wanted to add what came to my mind when I was listening to this. I think to me that the tree spirit, it kind of works around fear. And I guess like if there's more element that I can go crazy
uh-huh.
about like being afraid and like whatever choices that I make out of fear, sometimes it can look like it can be a same choice that I can make out of care too, but I wouldn't feel the same.
Mm.
And I guess listening to you, it's nice to see the possibility of that footing in care.
Nice. So,
right.
So if I understand you, to interpret you, so it's possible to wear a mask out of fear.
Yeah.
And it's possible to wear a mask out of care. It's the same behavior, but you might as well get the credit for the for the care. This is, you know, it's kind of free. You're doing the same thing, and the credit you get is in the heart. When your heart knows, it feels very different. It's after. Is that to the point?
Yeah. And also that's kind of my ongoing inspiration.
Uh-huh.
I guess. I guess this meditation practice. I guess I'm still in a phase of kind of taking care of my it's just fear is everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And I just cannot get rid of it. But I guess I'm kind of this is good way of exercising okay. that the more I try to push away that it's gonna actually become bigger and like a more
like the tree spirit. Yeah,
yeah
absolutely. Yeah. So I think probably underneath the yaksha who was so anger eating, he was probably afraid. And so the friendliness is creating safety and let something relax. Yeah, so the meditation is definitely a way to meet our fear in a different way than being afraid of it or angry at it. Great, thank you.
This is actually my third time coming to IMC in person now, so I came last Monday and then I came yesterday and today, and you know, it'd been such a long time, and it's just I'm so happy. And when I heard that there was an in-person retreat at IRC, that also just made me so happy. Like, the wearing mask part, it actually doesn't bother me. It's okay, and I love the way that you kind of made it feel even easier and even more wholesome. To do that, and I'm also just kind of noticing the impact. So like yesterday and today, I could just kind of feel myself sitting, and it was almost like, you know, there's just like being in the room and being with other people meditating. It's just like almost like it's like polishing or something, like or shaking things up more than it would otherwise. And today, like when I was driving, and I noticed like a really unpleasant emotion. A very unpleasant feeling coming, and all of the thoughts kind of swirling around, trying to like, you know, I don't like this feeling, I don't want to feel this feeling, you know, this means that, you know, why again and why now? And I realized it was a feeling that, you know, I notice it a lot in meditation retreat, and you know, by really paying attention to it and caring for it and really having a lot of continuous mindfulness, it does kind of heal. There's healing. You know, but then in the day-to-day life, I think it's coming a lot, and the way I react is by just kind of trying to avoid it or not think about it or distract myself or something like that. But I'm just already feeling that, you know, just coming to this IMC just three times, or it was is already like, oh wow, you know, reminding me of this possibility of, you know, mindfulness in everyday life. So I'm just so happy.
Fantastic. What a great story. I love that. I love it.
Thank you.
Come again. Well, it is really nice to be with all of you. And I really value the chance to be together, meditate together. And so maybe I'll see you again. And I should be back in 2 weeks because I go off and do another retreat. Diana will be here again next Monday. And take good care of yourself and care for others. Thank you.